Our study tonight is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, valuing the great spiritual experiences of godly Christian workers. 2 Corinthians was written to defend the authenticity of Paul's apostleship and his message to a church of believers who were susceptible to heeding false teachers who critiqued him. Thus, Paul had to give his credentials, much like what the false apostles gave to persuade weak believers to follow his teaching versus the teachings of false apostles. Paul's report of his great heavenly experience from the Lord in 2 Corinthians 12, 1-10 is valuable not only for his readers, but it's valuable for us today. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it in depth. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Actually, when he was weak physically and in his humanity, then he was strong spiritually. That's what he's talking about. Paul remarkably humbly told of an extraordinarily great vision he had received from the Lord. So he's in the process of trying to point out to the people around him, the weak believers around him, the carnal believers around him, that the false apostles really didn't have really that great of credentials. And the false apostles, one of the things they boasted in was their visions. If they had a vision or something, they said, this is from the Lord, and therefore that makes me more credible than other people. And Paul had not shared this vision. He didn't share it with anyone else that we know of other than these people. But it's an experience that, to the best of our knowledge, no other Christian has had. But in addressing the matter of visions and revelations received, what a false prophet would gladly promote to his hearers to evoke their admiration, Paul prefaced his remarks of his experience of his vision by humbly noting that there was nothing spiritually advantageous to be gained in his reporting of the event. Paul recognized that there were no brownie points in this. There was no reward from the Lord for sharing this with them. His reward for the Lord was going to be based upon whether or not he obeyed the Lord. Then in giving the report of his extraordinary spiritual experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, Paul humbly referred to himself in the third person to detract any focus from himself. You know, I remember when I first read this many years ago, Paul talked about the visions that he had in verse 1, but all of a sudden in verse 2, he says, I know about this man. And I used to wonder, why is he talking about some other guy? He's not. He's talking about himself. But in those days, if you wanted to be polite, if you wanted to downplay any focus on yourself, you spoke of yourself in the third person. I know somebody who. And that's what Paul is actually talking about, his own experience that he had. So he then told, however, over 14 years earlier, possibly when he was stoned and left for dead. Remember in Acts 14, 19, when he was at Lystra and Derbe, I think it was at Derbe where he was stoned and left for dead. And they wouldn't have stoned and finished stoning him unless they were convinced that he was dead. So apparently his pupils were fixed and so forth. And then the stoners left and went into the city. But Paul then got up and walked away. So apparently when he was stoned, he was either out of the body or in the body. He was not sure. He was caught up to the third heaven, God's abode. Now remember, in Jewish theology, there are three heavens. The first heaven is the atmosphere that you see around us where the birds fly. Okay? That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the heavens where the stellar universe is, the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is the abode of God that we can't see. So when he said, I was caught up to the third heaven, he says, I was caught up to the presence of Almighty God. And another name for it is paradise. Remember the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, he told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise is another name for heaven, the third heaven, or the abode of God. But Paul was caught up into the third heaven. And in this third heaven, otherwise called paradise, he heard words that were not lawful for a man to utter in this life on the earth. Now, why did he hear these words? If it wasn't Paul's stoning, he probably needed encouragement. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to be stoned to death, all right? And God still wanted him to function and to be a very bold apostle. And so he might have needed this encouragement. So God gave him this encouragement. And apparently he gave him insight that he was not allowed to speak. Maybe the insight was that God was going to use his experiences in Scripture that millions and millions of Christians would use after him. We don't know. But it could have been something like that. Paul might have been told about what he was going to be doing. His letters are going to be used. We have no idea. But anyway, it was a great encouragement to him. But this experience would have been an astounding honor for a man living in this life. So the vision was possibly given when Paul needed to be greatly encouraged. Once again, I know of no other verified case where a person has actually been caught up to the presence of God and had this experience and then apparently returned to earth. But that's what Paul had. So he was an outstanding believer, and he needed the encouragement. However, in contrast to the false apostles, Paul expressed humility in regards to this event. And this is what is so neat about Paul. He claimed that he could actually boast about the man who had had this vision since he had experienced it. But he chose rather to boast in his weaknesses in contrast to what the false apostles would do. The false apostles would never boast in their weaknesses. If they had a problem with their speech, or if they had a limp, or maybe they were constantly getting sick, those were weaknesses. They would never boast in those. But Paul chose to boast in those. And in a little bit, he's going to explain why. But Paul then added, even if he chose to boast in the vision, he claimed he would not be a fool to do so, since he would actually be telling the truth. But he chose not to boast in the vision, lest other people thought of himself highly for his vision and not focused on believing the biblical truth he spoke or what he did in his life. Now, this is an amazing thing that Paul is doing here. In 1 Corinthians, he went through great lengths where people were doubting his apostleship and so forth, and he went on trying to explain it. He could have shared this vision then, but he did. He wanted people to believe the message that he taught by faith. He did not want to attract attention to himself, but the false apostles are trying to boast about their vision, so Paul says, all right, I'll tell you about my vision. That's all. And then Paul explained why he gloried in his weaknesses regardless of his great heavenly experience. He did this in verses 7 through 9 and then verse 10. The Lord knew Paul could become proud over having experienced his unique heavenly experience. So, to keep him humble and thus effective in serving the Lord, God allowed him to be assigned an afflicting demon from Satan, a thorn in the flesh, to harass him. Now, some think that this thorn in the flesh was an eye ailment or something else. I really believe when Paul says a messenger from Satan, he meant a demon. And it would explain the difficulties that Paul had later on. You'll notice the difficulties, infirmities, reproaches in verse 10, necessities, persecutions, distresses. These are all things that can be caused by demonic pressures in the angelic conflict. And I believe that's what was actually going on. There was actually a demon that was assigned to Paul to pester him. And actually, the English Standard Version correctly translates harass him. This demon just harassed him and harassed him and harassed him and kept it up. Well, Paul asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn, but God replied that his grace was sufficient, that Christ's strength in the believer's life and ministry was perfected in his human weakness. See, it was out of love that the Lord allowed this demon to pester Paul. If it had not happened, God knew that Paul probably would become proud. And once he became proud, he'd be carnal. And once he became carnal, he wouldn't be productive for the Lord. And God wanted him productive. He probably had more epistles. In fact, there were several more epistles after this era, I believe, that were written, including 2 Timothy, which, you know, is a wonderful epistle. We just mentioned it this morning, talking about the inspiration of Scripture and so forth. We might not have had it if Paul had been lifted up and proud. He would have been disqualified. And so he couldn't have served the Lord anymore. So it was for the goodness of the church and goodness of God that God allowed this man to be pestered this way. But God revealed that his grace was sufficient. In other words, the power that God would provide Paul, the nurture, the consolation that God would give him in spite of all this suffering, was so great that it would keep Paul true to the Lord and keep him honest and keep him humble so that he could be effective for the Lord. So, Paul then gladly gloried in his human weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest on him for effective life and service. Paul delighted himself in weaknesses, in insults, notice, hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. I believe the word difficulties is the word that is used to get into a tight place where there's not enough room. You might have a tight place. There may not be enough finances to take care of needs, or you might not have enough liberty to do certain things. Maybe Paul really felt that he needed to go to some other town, but he's in prison. When you're in prison, you can't go anywhere because the Roman government, you know, controls you. But Paul experienced all of these difficulties, but he delighted them in facing them due to the demon who harassed him. For when he was humanly weak, he was spiritually strong in God's compensating provision of Christ's power. Chuck Swindoll tells of a time when he had a daughter, and she fell out, I think, out of a second-story window. I may not get the story right, but anyway, and she fell onto a canopy on top of that, and severely injured herself. She ended up, and temporarily she was paralyzed. And he went to see her, and as she was lying on the ground there, and they'd called the ambulance, he told his daughter, "I don't know how we're going to go through this, but we'll get through it somehow." And he said the next sermon that he had to preach was on the shipwreck of Paul. And the title of the sermon was A Time to Heal. And he said, believe it or not, of all the sermons that he's ever preached, the people in his church who knew him said that that was the sermon they checked out the most. So he figured out why. Why that? Because it's A Time to Heal. It's just on Paul's shipwreck. There's not that much content in it, you know. You don't hear much theology out of Paul's content, of Paul's shipwreck. Well, he went and he played it back, and he says, I was astounded at what was going on in the ministry of the word. He said, I was in a state of weakness. I was in shock. I didn't know if my daughter was going to be able to move again. And I was grieving over that. And here I had to preach. But he said, in the midst of that weakness, the power of God kicked in. And I've heard of other reports of other people saying the thing. So this is why it's so valuable for a Christian to delight in their weaknesses, in when they're hampered in some way, or insulted, or whatever. There's a difficulty, a sharpness. That's when they're powerful. So, on the subject of visions from God, Paul's experience was far greater than that of the false apostles. For he experienced being caught up into God's heavenly presence and hearing words that were not lawful for him to speak in this life, all possibly provided for Paul's encouragement. However, Paul did not boast in this experience, lest others heed him for his vision and not for the truth he taught and exampled. And God even let a demonic spirit harass him to keep him humble, regardless of his great heavenly experience, lest he become ineffective in service. So when Paul asked God to remove the demon, the Lord replied that his grace was sufficient for him, that God's strength was perfected in Paul's human weakness. Paul thus gloried in his weaknesses that included being insulted, facing hardships, persecutions, and difficulties, for when he was humanly weak, then the spiritual power of Christ was with him that he might be greatly effective in life and Christian service. So if we know of a godly servant of the Lord who has been given a remarkable spiritual experience or experiences from God that is entirely biblical, may we respect his calling and mission from the Lord. However, may we also realize that God's power rests with the believer only if he's humanly weak, that the glory of what he achieves for Christ might belong to God, not the believer. And then may we glory in our weaknesses for power in life and service. A number of years ago, there was a study done on notable Christians, the Christians who were serving the Lord. Often these were leaders in various areas. And a very high percentage of them had suffered tremendous heartaches in life. Either they had a child who was born who was mongoloid and had to institutionalize the child because the situation was so bad, or they had a child who had died of leukemia while quite young, and a lot of these things. Actually, the president of the Bible college I went to, Dr. Aldrich, he had six children by his wife, and his wife got into a serious car accident, lay in a coma. I think it was 9 months, and then she died. And so he had six children, and he was the president of the school at the time. He did remarry and so forth. His children went on to serve the Lord, but people had prayed for him and so forth, but the Lord saw fit to take his wife home to glory, and it was a hardship. But it's amazing how that man was mellowed and became one of the gentlest, kindest people I've ever met. He was mellowed through suffering, that experience. And there are other marvelous Christians who have experienced a devastating events in their lives, in their personal lives. Sometimes I had one prof who always limped. He had contracted polio when he was young, and it hindered him. And so wherever he walked, Dr. Toussaint, he walked with a limp. It's polio. And it was a hardship, but the Lord went ahead and used him marvelously. So we need to learn that God has a program that is very different from the world. The world looks at a Christian and thinks the Christian is strong if he's physically, you know, well and mighty and things are going great and everything's happy around him. But that's not what makes us powerful. What makes us powerful is when Christ's power is perfected in our weaknesses, our human weaknesses, and the sufferings we experience. So we need to do what Paul did. And actually, the great spiritual experience of the Apostle Paul is really not his vision. It's how the Lord used him when he suffered these setbacks. So may we learn to rely upon the Lord when we experience difficulties, that the power of Christ, that's when the power of Christ can really rest with us.